Christina, and I'm so glad that you've joined us. We'd love to connect, engage with you throughout the service, so I invite you to like, to comment. You can also head to our website and fill out a connection card. Today's service, we have communion, so if you need to go grab some elements, I invite you to do that now. But we're excited to just worship along with you, so let's get into the service.
Infamous Lindsay Anderson.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
To tell us all about our newcomers dinner that's happening
right
this week.
This week.
What do they got to know?
Tuesday night, 6 p.m. If you're interested in coming and maybe meeting a few new people and meeting the staff, hearing a little bit about SBC, we would love to have you. We do need you to sign up today by 2 p.m. All right. So hit the website. If you're here in person at the WRC or CBC campus, you go ahead and just fill out the Connect card.
Oh, nice.
And you can drop that in the basket. I'd love to have you, love to meet you and tell you a little bit more about SBC.
Definitely, come have dinner with us. Register by 2 o'clock today.
Thank you.
And we also have some baptisms coming up. That's super exciting.
Yeah, June 5th. It's been a while. And I know that there are some out there who have been considering this and may be ready for this next step. So if you are interested, again, just reach out to us. You can hit the website. There's a tab there under events about baptism. And we'd love to hear from you. Or you can even talk to us after the service. Love to chat about that. That's June 5th.
June 5th. Sounds exciting. And lastly, you've got one more. What are you here about?
Well, we have an opportunity for someone to join our team. We've had a bookkeeper, accountant for a lot of years, done a great job for us, but all good things must come to an end. And at the end of the month, this Marine will be done. She didn't want me to mention her name. Oops. and so there's a part-time opportunity. Maybe if you're looking for just a few hours a week, not a full-time job, but some part-time work, we'd love for you to check out our website. There's a tab there, join our team, and there's all kinds of details there. Along with that, you know, as we have talked many times, we've got all kinds of volunteer needs. We have them within the finance world, you know, envelope secretaries, people who are good at sort of keeping things in order. We got some opportunity there. Youth leaders, you know, kids workers, worship team people, ground stuff, like just all kinds of great opportunities. If you're interested, please reach out to us. You can hit the website. You can talk to us after the service. We'd just love to have you join our team in a volunteer way as well.
Yeah, you betcha. You can always, if you have any questions or concerns about anything, so you want to get involved, you're not sure how, email us, office@sandwichbaptist.org. We'd love to direct you to the right place or get you in contact with the right person and have you join us. So I think that's all of the announcements that
that's
we
all
have.
I got.
Yeah, that's all. That's all we got. See you next time.
Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. If you're able to, I invite you to stand with us as we begin to worship this morning with our call to worship. So as we begin today, we want to acknowledge with gratitude that we are leading worship on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen peoples. I'm reading this call to worship from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Amen. Yeah, let's worship together.
Good to me, yeah, yeah.
Sing the splendor of the King. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me. How great is our God, and all will see. How great is our God. And each in which he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God at three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me. How great is our God, and all will see. How great is our God. Let's sing that again. How great, how great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. We'll see. How great is our God. Let's sing it out. Name above all names. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing. Our God, you're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing. Sing with me. How great is our God, and all will see. How great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God, and all will see. How great is our God. Sing that again, just the voices. And how great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see. How great is our God. Yeah, so Father God, we sing of your greatness here this morning, God, your love and your mercy. God, just how worthy you are of our worship. God. You are always worthy of the best that we can bring. Whatever that best looks like on any given day. Some days it's harder than others. But God, you're always pleased by our worship, Lord. I pray that as we continue on this morning, that we would just continue to feel your presence, your closeness to us. And God, just by your grace, you would just continue that act of sanctification that you're doing in us, of making us more like Jesus, Lord. You are good. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you can take a seat.
Good morning. It is good to be with all of you and declare together that our God is good, that he is great. And we are going to continue worshiping through prayer. And so I just want to lead us through this prayer and invite you to join with me when you are prompted on the screen. So let's pray. Father, you have called us to be your witnesses here and to the ends of the earth. Yet we stand so often with feelings of inadequacy, fearful of our past failings and sin. Forgive us when we try and limit your power and underestimate our own capabilities when yielded to you. Forgive us when we fail to open our hearts fully to the working of your Spirit, when we choose to limit your work in our lives. Empower us, as you did with men and women throughout the history of the church, to live and proclaim the good news to those we do life with. Fill us with your Spirit, that our faith might be enriched. Fill us with your Spirit, that our lives might be empowered. Fill us with your Spirit, that our witness might be emboldened. And fill us with your Spirit, that your name might be glorified. Amen.
Thanks, Christina. It is good to be with all of you in the room, those of you who have joined us online. Not going to lie, during that first song, felt a little convicted. How about you? Because I've been complaining a little bit about the weather, and did you notice the line in that song? Whether it rains or shines, woo, we celebrate. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'll try to do that. Oh, man, it is good. As Christina said, there is just something about being in God's presence, worshiping, knowing that he is God, declaring that, being his children. It's so good. Just want to mention something people have asked me before the service. And just want to, for those of you who may have missed it, last Sunday, Pastor Steve let us know that Donna Menez, right, hey, kids, see ya. Nice to know ya. You don't want to be in here is what you're saying. Okay. Awesome. Thanks, you guys. Sorry about that. Yeah. Joe and Donna Menez, founding members of SBC all those years ago. Donna passed away just over a week ago. And if you could be in prayer, we would ask you to be in prayer for Joe and his family. It is hard, right? And we don't know when the celebration of life is going to be in the next couple of weeks, likely. And we'll make sure that you are well aware of that for those of you who would like to join us to celebrate. Now, last week, Pastor Steve gave us a message and a challenge for us to consider how we could live sort of moment by moment in the Spirit. Like, you've been hearing us talk more and more about that in this year, 2022. And last week, he shared the story of Frank Laubach, a gentleman who just made this commitment. I just want to know what it is to live and walk and be interaction with God through the Spirit of God, moment by moment, day by day. Some of you were probably a little encouraged. We've got some mic stuff going on. Mark, let me know if I need the handheld, and Christina, my amazing partner, will run up here with a mic. Where was I? Oh, yeah, Frank Laubach. And just made this commitment. And truthfully, he has laid down quite a challenge and a legacy and a history of that. And so Pastor Steve reminded us and gave us this idea of the 30-30 challenge. Some of you were good. You made it to about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, didn't make it to 3, and gave up. Can I just say, I understand. But can you please not let the enemy win? Because here's what I know what happens is, I can't do it. I make these commitments all the time, and I never quite make it. Can I just say that even if you just make it 3 or 4 times every day, right? All of a sudden having that moment where all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, right, God is present with me. And we step into that moment in prayer. Like, that's possibly 3 or 4 times more than you did in the past. And God willing, and you participating, right? Like, this could become more of a momentum thing. It become more. So let's not let the enemy win, all right? So let's start again today, all right? And let's kind of go after it. On the bulletin, there was just a little reminder. There's little stickers there that you can stick wherever you want. And just remind yourself, if you didn't get a bulletin when you came in with these things, I encourage you to grab that at the back. Please don't give up. Now, I want to tell you a story off the top here this morning. It's a story of a mentor of mine. Now, this is a mentor that I have met once, but is more of a mentor from afar, from a distance, through writings and teachings and things like that. I hope you have mentors, by the way. I hope you have men and women who are kind of helping lead you and teach you things, and maybe they're people in the same city as you. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're people from abroad. We all need mentors. We need people who are going to help us, right? And maybe a mentor could help you with the 30-30 challenge, frankly. Anyhow, Brian Zahn is this mentor. And a few years ago, we as a staff went down to the prayer school. You've heard us talk about that. Pastor Steve actually shared sort of the template that Brian helped us and has taught us in how to pray on a daily way. Now, Brian was in Paris and he was teaching and preaching, as he does often wherever he goes. He was spending a week in Paris, and he often had some free time in the afternoon and in the evenings. And so this one Tuesday, I think it was a Tuesday, he decided, you know what, I'm going to head over to Notre Dame. And he went over. Brian is just incredibly moved by art and the history of the church and all. And so he went over. Notre Dame, if you're unfamiliar, is an 800-year-old cathedral, and just filled with amazing art depicting the Christian faith. Okay, apparently don't hit your pants while you're speaking with the mic today. I'm going to try to keep my hands above the table height, all right? Woo, this is going to be fun. As he reflected, as he stood and as he looked at all of these things, he just felt God's presence. Just really felt like, man, God is right there with me. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been to Notre Dame. Maybe you've been to some of these amazing historic places. And he just paused, and he said this prayer, and it was a unique prayer. God, would you use me more in this city this week? Use me more. I mean, he was there teaching, preaching, and all that, but he said, God, could you use me more this week in this city? When he was done in Notre Dame, he chose to go across the river to a very famous bookstore, Shakespeare and Company bookstore, and he was drawn to the authors sort of from antiquity, great influencers. Most of the names, frankly, I didn't recognize, but one of the names I've heard many times, you've maybe read some of his things, is Fyodor Dostoevsky. And in particular, he ended up landing on this one book. It's called The Idiot. And he thought, he's already got a copy of it. He actually had a historic copy, like a really, really fancy, you know, hard copy, all of this kind of stuff, but he just felt like he was supposed to buy it. And the goofy thing about it was, he had his really good copy in his hotel room. But he just felt like, no, I'm going to buy it. I've got probably an hour or so before the train comes to take me back to my hotel. I'm going to buy it anyhow. And so he bought this copy of The Idiot, and went and hopped on the train. As he was sitting on the train and as he was reading it, a young man came and sat in front of him. You was his name. And you sat there and he saw the book that Brian was reading and he said, oh, hey, that's a good book you're reading there. And Brian goes, oh, you've read it? And he goes, no, actually, I'm just in the middle of reading it right now. And so they ended up in quite a discussion around this. Brian ended up asking this question, you, what's your hope for the world? What's your hope for the world? It's a great question. And you said, well, frankly, I don't have any hope for the world. I think it's pretty hopeless. So as you can imagine, they ended up in quite a conversation around that. You as a very educated guy, double degree guy, and Brian and he just landed into just a fascinating conversation. Then at one point, you sort of broke out of the conversation. Now he said, Brian, I understand that Dostoevsky ended up becoming a Christ follower. Do you know anything about that? And what's funny about that is that, like, Dostoevsky is like one of Brian's like mentors, right? You know how I said Brian's kind of like, he is a mentor of his and he devours and he understands life. And he said, oh, yes, I actually do know a little bit about that. He went on to explain that he grew up in a Christian home, and then during his teen years, he left the faith, ended up in university wanting to become a writer, and actually was a writer with a bunch of them, and these writers were actually trying to incite riots and overthrows of the czar of the day. As they did that, they ended up getting arrested, and they were going to be executed. And then for some reason, the emperor decided, no, we're not going to execute these guys. We're going to what? What do we know about Russia? We're going to send them to Siberia, okay? That's a real thing. 2,000 miles in a sleigh. That's a long ways away. What was interesting was, as the transfer of this that was taking place, the wife of the warden decided to give a New Testament to each one of the prisoners who were being sent off 2,000 miles away on a sleigh to Siberia. Dostoevsky read the Gospel of John, and the Spirit of God ignited his faith within him again. Amazing, amazing story. It doesn't end there. As they're listening to that story, you is intrigued, and you responded, well, you know what? I grew up in a Christian home, actually, too. And I rejected it. Came like an atheist, just didn't believe there, but for some reason I just had this urge that I needed to go to Notre Dame today. Brian is kind of curious. And as I was standing there in Notre Dame and viewing all of this great art and all of these amazing things, it just hit me, there must be a God. And I cried out to this God and I prayed to him, and yet I thought, he's never going to hear me. And Brian Zahn goes, oh, yes, he did. Because just 2 hours ago, guess where I was? I was in Notre Dame. And you know what I prayed? I prayed, God, could you use me in some greater way in this city? And I ended up over at a bookstore and I bought a book that I have got in my hotel room, but I just felt compelled to buy this book. And I'm sitting here and in you walked. Did you get it? You? Well, you walked in and you just happened to be reading it. Oh, and it just happened to be about a guy, the author of whom had a similar life trajectory as you. I believe God heard your prayer. Isn't that an amazing story? You prayed with Brian. Brian's never seen him again. He'd love to hear what God is doing in his life. God moves. God leads. Are you willing to let him lead and move in your life? Today I want to talk to you about how we can live and proclaim the good news. To know that God wants to empower you and wants to empower me to live and proclaim the good news. You see, Your life, my life, is proclaiming a story. It's proclaiming a set of beliefs and values, things that matter to us. And I want to call you and ask you and invite you in to join God's story. Let the good news be the story of your life, to be the thing that is the imprint on your life, the thing that you will live and you will proclaim. Colossians chapter 2. Nope, Colossians chapter 4. Tricked you. Verses 2 to 6. If you've got a Bible or anything like that with the Bible on it, please turn there. This is an interesting set of verses that Paul was speaking to a group of Christ followers just like you and I. A letter to them, and he encouraged them with these words: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. There's so much here. Right off the bat, devote yourself. Like, live with intention around living and proclaiming the good news. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to this idea of living in this constant communication with your Father, Jesus, the Spirit of God. Be watchful. Be listening. Be responding. Pray for opportunities. Paul is asking, please pray for us. Now, you know what's really interesting about this? Do you notice this? Paul's in prison, right? He's in chains. Do you notice what he doesn't pray for? He never prays that he'll be delivered. Matter of fact, one time when they were praying and worshiping, right, the chains all busted off and they could have bolted out of the prison, they actually stayed sitting there. Christina spoke on it recently. They wanted opportunities to share the good news in the midst of prison. Like, that sometimes is a bit of a paradigm shifter for me. The good news is not always the deliverance to the good life. It's that the good news could be embodied in us, seen by others, shared with them. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that we might have open doors, we might have opportunities to share. God, give them clarity, give us clarity. Be wise in how we act. Like, Paul is coming to us and he's asking us, and God's speaking to us today, saying, could we live with that kind of clarity? Could we be wise in the way we act towards outsiders? The word outsiders there, it just means those who aren't a part of the family of God, the church, Christians, Christ followers, whatever it is. It's not an us versus them. It's just some way to recognize those who don't follow Christ. Could we be wise towards them and how we, making the most of every opportunity? Like, could our conversation be respectful? Could it be full of grace and seasoned with salt? As you can imagine, as we get ready to do our talks on Sundays, we're always reading and listening and trying to discern and discover things and try to deliver and share with you some important thoughts. One of the things that seems to be very prevalent within this whole area of living and proclaiming the good news that seems to be so important today is that we learn how to listen. Like, actually listen to men and women, teenagers, children around us. And not listen so that we can just figure out the trick, the angle, right, to get our next line in. Oh, I heard him say that. This is where I'm supposed to say this. Like, I don't know, that might be okay. But can we learn to, like, respect and honor the people that we are doing life with, the people that are coming our way. Could we rediscover this whole world of being hospitable? One of the things as we learn how to listen, we're going to be trying to listen on sort of two channels, two tracks, if you like. We're trying to listen to God and the Spirit of God. Like, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to respond? You know, as Pastor Steve shared with us, like, what is the Holy Spirit prompting you to do or you to say? Like, tracking on that, but then also just truly listening. Like, listening and caring for those who may not hold the same values that you and I do. That might be your household. That might be a neighbor. That might be a coworker. I don't know what it is. But could we listen? One of the resources I was reading talked about this idea. Could we have a Spirit-led listening? What they were saying by that is that the Spirit-led listening would be the kind of listening that creates a safe place so that people can truly share, not in a defensive way, but just maybe their lack of hope for the world as you had. Or maybe share their philosophy, their take on things, but a safe place. I mean, you want that, don't you? Like, for yourself, don't we need that? Could we do that? Could we pray for that? Could we pray for the opportunity? Could we pray for a place that is wise in how we act towards our outsiders, our friends, our neighbors who may not quite understand who we are, it is all about? Could our conversation be filled with grace? Now, my mic is cutting in and out a little bit. Do I need to change mics? We're okay? All right. You see, 30-30 living in God's presence, being willing to respond, this is a requirement for living and proclaiming news. Like, learning how to respond and to hear and to be sensitive and to be aware of the movement of God. I've got a friend in this church who I respect so much. More so, to be honest with you, in the last year or so. But I've known this person for almost 5 years. Every time we get together, you know, we can talk about building, sports, all these things. But it quickly turns into trying to figure out, what does God want for my life? What is God saying? Like, how do I move into this next phase? I've got this friend. I'm trying to love them. I'm just trying to be sensitive. Like, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? And the conversation just always ends up there. And just over a year ago, as we were starting to have this conversation about, you know, the expression of micro churches within the ministry of SBC, this gentleman was wrestling with that. Like, I don't know. Is that what God wants me to do or not? And we had many coffees, and our coffees are not short. They're awesome. They're quite amazing. But just wrestling, God, what do you want me to do? And as this gentleman was wrestling, God, what do you want me to do? All of a sudden, in some of the relationships that this person had in their neighborhood, like, these spiritual conversations started to percolate. And it wasn't always comfortable. It was kind of hard at times and intimidating and frankly scary. But every time we would get together, this person would just go, I don't know what God wants me to do. Like, these people seem spiritually interested. I'm wrestling. Should I start something? Should I do a microchurch? I don't know. And praying about it. And you know what? Roll the clock forward. Gathering on a regular basis in their home, eating meals together, having conversations around Jesus. One of the people's come to know Christ, got baptized a few weeks ago, is now actually visiting family and sharing this newfound faith with family. Why? All because someone was willing to devote themselves to prayer and to be willing to listen. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to friends. Was willing to walk into an area that felt a little uncomfortable at times. Was willing to be vulnerable. God is using this person. So yeah, it can happen in Paris. We know what can happen as we've read scripture, but it can happen right here in Victoria. There's a woman in our church who told me the story, and I think I may have mentioned this again, but you know what? You don't remember what we say half the time anyhow. I mean, I don't remember what I'm saying half the time. That wasn't a shot at you. There we go. Bunk, bunk. All right. This person just mentioned, you know, I've got a routine, and in my routine, I see similar people almost regularly in the same routine, right? Go for walks, go to stores, go to here, go to there, right? You, if you're a routine person, you know that. And this person said, God, could we get beyond just the routine today? Could you do something that just is a little outside of norm today? And sure enough, heads out on the walk. You know what happens. All of a sudden, this person that they're usually just bumping into, complaining about the weather, maybe if they're like me, right? Why do Canucks don't make the playoffs? You know, why is gas so expensive? All of that, that normal stuff, right, that we get together and we do our little talk and then off we go and nothing's changed. And all of a sudden this day, a question was asked. And it just went to a whole different place. And you see, if you were to ask Brian, if you were to ask this gentleman friend of mine in the church, if you were able to ask this woman who's in my church, you know, what did they do? Was it about them? No. No, it was a posture of surrender. And God just choosing to do something. Answering that request, could you just do something? Could you use me a little more in the city today? Lord, how would you like to use me within my complex? God, as I go through my routine today, could you use me? Could I have a conversation with someone? I'd love to just share a little bit about you. This is what we're talking about. When we're talking about 30-30, it's discovering how to live in the presence of God and allowing His goodness to just infiltrate our defenses, to change our perspectives, to change the things that we do day in and day out, our parenting, our familying, our working, our recreation, our walking, our coffees, teas, I don't know, fraps, whatever it is, and going, God, could you do something for your glory? Could you help me to live and proclaim your good news? Because you are good. You are great, as we sang earlier. This is what we're talking about here, is this idea, it's incarnational living. You know, Jesus, this is a Christmas term. What am I doing using it in May, right? Jesus was incarnated, which meant God became human, right? Can we incarnationally live so that God lives through us? I know you can. Because it's not you that does it, it's the Spirit of God. Are you willing to walk humbly? Are you willing to seek that? To allow God to do that kind of work in your life? Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16 is a set of verses that, you know, we've looked at before. It's probably very familiar to you. It's the verses where it talks about, you know, you are salt and you are light, right? You are salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under the bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's our call. To live and to proclaim the good news of Jesus. His love, His grace, His mercy. It's seeing the pain in our world and reaching out in Christ. It's seeing the lack and trying to help out in Christ. See, our good deeds and our good words, they go together. And you see, if our good deeds and our good good deeds and our good words don't link up, don't match, do you know what we call ourselves? A hypocrite. Like if it's all just words and our life isn't changed, we end up with all kinds of scandal in the church. I mean, just look around today. How could that person have done that? They said this. We've got to bring the two together. Our lives, our living is a proclaiming, and it needs to lead to good words, and our good words need to be backed up by our good deeds and our good life that needs to sync together. And when it does, it's just so powerful. And so this morning, what we're asking is, are you willing to continue to lean into that journey? That understanding that our God is good. And he's with you. And he wants to work in you. And through you. And the good news is for you. And is that as it transforms you, it becomes good news to others. If Jesus is changing your life and it's not becoming better news for other people, I'm not sure what's happening there. The good news is that the kingdom would come. On earth, on this piece of earth, on this island, in this city, in your neighborhood, in your home, in your marriage, in your parenting. Do you see what I'm saying? Like right down to you, that kingdom would come. And that as that kingdom comes, that good news is reflected in your life. It will be shared. It will be lived. It will be proclaimed. You see, the good news, the beauty of Jesus and all he did is seen and experienced through the work on the cross. The good news, the beauty of Jesus and all he did is seen and experienced through the work on the cross. It's absolutely beautiful what he did. It's completely just not human what he did. And yet in the midst of all of that violence that the world was throwing at him, the beauty of his sacrifice for us changes everything. Just changes everything. God is not done. Dark despair does not win. It can be Friday in your life. I totally get that. But God is at work. Hope and courage and freedom and forgiveness can rise from the ashes of defeat, of brokenness. He can restore. The kingdoms of this world order can do what they do, but God can still meet you and bring such amazing hope in the midst of your life and your experience. This is the good news. This is what we see. This is what we're reminded of through the cross, through the death of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Can't find Hebrews chapter 2. This is the fun of not marking it. All right. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, that so by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it's not the angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. Folks, you are Abraham's descendants. And our God wants to help you. This morning we are going to take communion. And we are going to remind ourselves that Jesus came and that Jesus lived and that Jesus died to reconcile, to work in our lives, to draw us together. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through his death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." Our world needs this truth, this good news. Can we lean into that? This morning, one right here at the front. We will have one at the back. Here, people will be serving you this morning. I know we haven't done this since COVID started, other than at our prayer gathering. If you're not okay with that, we get it. We understand. But they're going to offer you the bread, and they're going to say, "This is Christ's body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And you'll take the bread. And then you'll take the cup, and it reminds us that this is Christ's blood that was shed for you. And you see, as you take that bread, as you take that cup, be reminded that God was reconciling you. He was bringing you back into this beautiful relationship with him, to where he wants to live with you moment by moment, to bring his good news, his hope, his grace, his mercy, his love, his restoration to your life moment by moment. And so I'm going to pray. Those who are serving will head to their stations. The team's going to come and just lead us in some music. And this is just a time for you just to enter into God's presence. So let me just pray. Dear God, I thank you for today. I thank you that you are present with us. As we heard those stories of you working and moving, God, we would ask you to do that again. Communion now. We take this bread, we take this juice, Lord, and we do this in remembrance of you. Thank you for what you've offered each of us. God, would you grow us in an understanding of the truth of and what this hope really looks like, both for us, that it would truly be good news for us. But then as that works in our life, our lives would become good news for those around us. And so we come now, we bring our brokenness, our sin, our frustration, our defiance, our hopes, our lives, our families, we come and we bring them to you now. And we do this in remembrance of you. Amen. When you're ready, feel free to come forward to one of the three stations. God bless.
Jesus, breathe,
these bones to live, and call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, oh Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Oh Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, oh Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Shadows can't deny. Your name will not be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Say Jesus, and Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, oh Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Oh Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Silence fear, oh Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, oh Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. If you're able to stand, I invite you to stand as we close with this song. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, and the throne of endless glory, to the cradle in the dirt. Sing praise. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, nor even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Sing praise. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Heaven held its breath, for that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old, it shall not need, it shall not fade. Thy is burning in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who is resurrected me. And praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Let's sing that again together. Praise the Father. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings. Amen.
Christ, you are God today. And it is so easy to come into this space, to just enjoy being surrounded by others who are worshiping our God with us. And then we have to go out. We have to go out and we have to face this world. We have to face the darkness that is all around us, whether it's in our own lives and the circumstances that we're facing, or just lies, darkness that tries to evade all the spaces. But we can be light in those dark spaces. We can proclaim truth, truth that brings life and light. And so let's do that. Let's not just walk out of here and leave all that truth behind, but let's go and let's proclaim that this week. So if you are joining us today for the first time and you want to get connected, you want to have a conversation, you need prayer, we just invite you to do that. So there's a number of ways you can do that. There are connect cards that are in the seat in front of you. You can fill that out and drop it in the offering plate that's in the back. We're also having a newcomer's dinner this coming Tuesday. So if you are new in the last however long, maybe you started attending during COVID online, but we would love to meet you, love to connect with you. So I invite you to go onto our website and register for that. We're trying to get numbers sorted out. So if you could register by 2 p.m. today, that would be fantastic. As always, we're going to have a couple people up here who are just here to pray with you. So if you are in need of prayer today, I invite you to come up. And lastly, we are so grateful for the way that you guys have just been continually being generous and supporting the ministries of this church financially. There's a number of ways you can give. You'll notice that we have like a new giving sign in the back. So there's a giving station back there. There's also many ways to give online. Let me just close with this benediction from Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a wonderful week.